One of the effects of the past 100 years or so has been the explosion of information. Every day, we are bombarded with more and more information, and it can be very difficult to know what to do with it. I mean, just turn on the TV and listen to the news. Sometimes there's channels devoted only to the news, and it gives us story after story, day after day. Or go online, and you will find millions upon millions of websites, often claiming contradictory things. And even the number of books continues to increase with each passing year. We are a people who are drowning in a sea of information. And Christians, the same thing is true for the church, because more than ever, we see groups or people who claim to represent God, who claim to be speaking the truth, to teach what the Bible teaches. And with the internet, it's become easier than ever to find these people and to listen to what they have to say. So what do we do with all of this information? How do we determine what is true and what is false? Well, even though Paul did not live in our information age, he shows us the way to deal with these things. And the answer, Christians, is not to hide ourselves away from the world, to cut ourselves off, as if thinking that if we just ignore them, they'll ignore us. One way or another, these things will come to us, even if it's as simple as a friend asking us a question. We have to deal with it somehow. And the answer is not to believe everything without question, to just accept it all as true, because that is not going to be helpful at all. Rather, Paul shows us that the way to deal with these things, Christians, is to learn discernment, to learn how to determine between what is true and what is not, and to train ourselves by constant practice, so that we will be able to deal with whatever comes our way. So Paul is writing to Timothy in this letter to show him how to discern this truth, especially since Timothy was dealing with all kinds of false teachers in the town where he was a pastor, men who were claiming to speak for God and even leading some to follow after them. How would Timothy be able to know the truth? Well, one way to discern the truth, Paul says, is to look at their fruits, to ask the question, what kind of lives do these people lead? And to answer that, to show that, Paul, in the first part of this chapter, chapter 3, gives a long list of vices to show what these people would be like when they have turned away from God. He says, starting in verse 2, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people." And to giving this list, he's not telling us that only the kind of people that all of these things describe are the kinds of people that we should avoid, as if it's only the kind of teachers who are the very worst that are the ones that we should mark. Rather, what he's saying is those people whose lives are characterized by sinfulness, by recklessness, by lovelessness, take note of them and avoid them. If someone says that they represent God and yet live a life completely contrary to what God says, don't listen to them. No matter how charismatic, no matter how persuasive they might be, they are not speaking the truth. That's one thing that we should pay attention to. But I want to focus on the last two things in that list that Paul gives. And the first of these things is that they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And Paul is not just talking about those who are seeking after pleasure above all things, who just want to live it up, although they would certainly be included too. But he would also include here anyone not willing to suffer for the sake of God. Someone who has a desire to be comfortable, to not rock the boat, to not cause any problems, rather than following where God wants them to go. If somebody is telling you something that you like hearing, that doesn't mean that it's speaking the truth. We should be following after God no matter what, not just when we like to hear it. We should not be ruled by our emotions when it comes to following the truth. The second thing that he says is that they would have the appearance of godliness, but deny its power. So Paul is telling us to not be deceived by appearances. Don't judge a book by its cover. Now that might sound contradictory to what he was saying before, that we should judge them by their fruits. So how do these two things work together? Well, what he means, Christians, is that knowing them by their fruits is more than just looking on their outward appearance. We should not be deceived by someone who's just putting on a good show. That's a very shallow way of coming to this. Rather, we need to look beyond the surface. And that means that we should be patient and carefully consider these things, to actually consider what all of this means. And then we will be able to say that this is true and this is false. Now, Paul goes on to give another example of other ways to discern between truth and falsehood. He goes on to say, starting in verse 6, "For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth." Now, by weak women there, Paul does not mean all women. You sometimes hear people argue that way about Paul. Rather, he's using a very specific example to talk about people who are especially susceptible to these false teachers, people who are willing to listen to them, which also includes men. They are the kind of teachers who prey on the vulnerable. And being burdened with sins means that their conscience has been wounded. They are dealing with a heavy sense of guilt. Past sins which they did still continue to haunt them. And they want to find any way to get out of it, any way to silence that conscience so that they feel better about themselves. And that drives them to listen to anyone who might give them an answer. Anyone who would say, this is how you can fix your problem. But Christians, just because it makes you feel better doesn't mean that it's true. There's many a sinner who has convinced themselves that everything is all right because they've convinced themselves that their sin is not actually a sin. We should be willing to step back and to judge the truth of what we hear, rather than being driven to listen to anything just to find some kind of comfort. But discerning the truth, Christians, is not just about listening to what other people say or watching what they do. It also includes ourselves, our own lives and conduct. Because those who fail to discern are led astray by their passions, as Paul says. If I'm being ruled by sin, if my life is full of sins, I'm not going to be able to determine the truth. If I am susceptible to doing whatever I feel like doing in the moment, how will I know what God wants me to do? It will prevent me from judging rightly. Self-control, one of the fruits of the Spirit, is critical for true discernment, because without it, we will always be learning and never coming to the truth. We will be blown about by every wind of doctrine, believing what anyone might say. But on the other hand, Christians, if we want to judge rightly, we also have to have something to judge these things against. Because how can I determine if something is true or false if I don't have something to compare it to? And that's what Paul shows us in our reading for today. He gives us two things to compare these things to so that we can discern the truth. And the first thing that he holds up is his own example. He says, starting in verse 10, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me." So Paul's own experience then gives something Timothy to compare things to. Because Paul, following after the Lord, suffered all kinds of things for the sake of God. And yet through all of this suffering, through all that he endured, he continued patiently and steadfastly in the truth of God. And Christians, by studying the example of other Christians, especially the Christians who went on before us, we too can learn what it means to walk in the truth. We can learn what it means to discern truth from error just by comparing the fruits of their two lives. Because on the one hand, we will see that those who walk according to God live a certain way, a way worthy of imitation. Whereas those who walk contrary to the Lord show themselves also by their fruits. So if we want to learn what it means to discern the truth, we should also listen to those who are wiser and more experienced than we are, studying their example and imitating their lives. But if we were to stop just there and didn't go any further, that would not be enough, because then all we would be doing is comparing people with people. We would still not be able to tell which one was actually following after God and which one was not. So we need a firm standard to judge them against, something to show which one is true. And that's why Paul goes on last of all, and most importantly of all, to point us to the Scriptures. "Hold on to them," he says. "Continue studying them. Continue listening to them. Continue learning from them, just as you have done for many years. Make them your constant study and delight." As he says, beginning in verse 16, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Being breathed out by God, or being inspired, means that it has come from God. It's like his breath. It is something that has come out from him, the very words that he is speaking. To be more specific, it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because as Peter tells us, the Holy Spirit moved the prophets and the apostles to speak the very words that they spoke, so that they are not just the words of men, but the very words of God himself. We hear God's voice when we turn to the Scriptures. And this word of God teaches us. It corrects us. It shapes us. It forms us. It makes us to be Christians, so that we will be able to tell what is true and what is false. It shows us how to discern the truth, so that when we are in these Scriptures, it will make us complete. You could also translate that as capable or proficient. To put it another way, The Scriptures prepare us. They make us ready for anything, so that we will be ready to meet any situation, no matter what it may be, and know in that situation what is right and what is wrong. The Scriptures themselves show us how to do this, because they are the living Word of God. Therefore, Christians, if we want to learn how to discern the truth, especially in this time when we deal with so many claims, when we deal with so much information, look to God, pray for the gift of discernment, and then study the Scriptures. Because armed with this word, Christians, we will be able to tell if something is true or false. Armed with this word, Christians, we will not be blown around by every wind of doctrine to believe anything at all. Armed with this word, we will be able to judge all things rightly. Because through this word, God will prepare us for all things to come through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us pray. Lord God, whose word is more precious than gold and sweeter than honey, build us up in that word and strengthen us to life everlasting. Teach us the way that we should go and help us to follow after the truth in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.